So we're talking with pianist Kirill Gerstein, of course, very familiar to Lido audiences, having appeared here a few times before with the Toledo Symphony, played wonderful Rachmaninoff on the stage, as well as a little Gershwin here and there. And now we're going to talk about Franz Liszt. Kirill has a new recording of the Transcendental Etudes out on Mirios Classics. It is a CD which has been garnering lots of wonderful reviews, and having listened to it myself, I can tell you it is a wonderful, beautiful interpretation. So, Kirill, thanks for joining us here on FM 91.
It's good to be speaking to you.
Now, let's just jump right into it. These etudes, we think of an etude as a study piece, something that's pedagogical in nature, but Liszt calls these transcendental etudes, and obviously that word carries a lot of weight. Can you tell us what it means to you and how it influenced your interpretation?
Yes, the two words in the title, both the transcendental and the etudes, I think require interpretation, just as the pieces themselves do. And as you said, an etude usually refers to an instruction piece, a piece to develop a certain aspect of technique. But I think one of the challenges and one of the ideas of these etudes is actually the leaving behind of the mere technique. And so the challenge of the etude is of going for and approaching the musical content without the distraction of the mere technical aspect. And at the same time, of course, the word transcendental, and here Liszt did not specifically decipher the meaning of the word for us or what it meant for him. And so I think that also leaves much to interpretation. And I think the transcendental, at its face value, we can say, well, that's going beyond. Going beyond what? And of course, we are in these pieces. It's evident we're going way, way beyond what piano technique was at the time. I mean, these were some of the most challenging pieces for the piano ever written. And in many ways, despite the great evolution in piano playing and piano technique, these still remain very, very challenging pieces. I think taken together, these approximately 110 pages of the 12 Transcendental Etudes are a compilation of every possible challenge you might encounter on the keyboard. But I think much more than just this idea of the super challenging technical difficulties, I think the word transcendental refers to the beyond of the materialistic or the physical presence, physical world, and goes to the aspects of the ghostly, the spiritual, the otherworldly, the imaginary, the visionary. And a lot of the titles of the individual etudes convey that. You have the flickering swamp lights that were thought to be representations of the dead souls, and it's in the number 5, the willow wisps, or in the French title, the fufole. Or you have Vision, the number 6, which refers to a poem where there is a depiction of a funeral of an emperor, this passing funereal procession. And you have number 8, Wilde Jagd, which is a bunch of ghost riders bringing trouble to any wandering traveler they encounter in their path, and so on. So there is that very 19th century romantic fascination with the dead, with the ghostly, with the spiritual, kind of the table tapping mysteries. And then there is the kind of the foretelling of the imagery and imagination of the Impressionists. In the number 3, you have paysage, the kind of a little picture of the landscape. In number 12, you have the snowstorm, really perfectly expressed on the keyboard. You have one that I very much adore. The number 9 is called Ricordanza. And as a great Italian composer and pianist Ferruccio Busoni said, this etude is like a bunch of yellowed love letters, tied with a pink ribbon. So, you know, these are very suggestive in their content, and yes, there's a million notes throughout the pages, but they serve to conjure these musical goals.
It sounds like such a monumental project to be able not only just to tackle these technically, but to get beyond the technique, as you mentioned, to transcend the distraction of what you're actually doing with your hands at the keyboard, and to tell all these individual stories. Well, how long did it take you to get to that point? And do you remember finding a point with these etudes that you felt like, yes, I have finally broken through and transcended, you know, just the technical details?
Well, I think from starting to work on the cycle in particular until the time I recorded them, this was about a year. But of course, you could say, you know, I've been practicing the piano and practicing playing music on the piano my entire life. So in that sense, you know, it's been as long of a preparation as I've been able to, you know, to have given my life span, right, until now. And, you know, there's something rather beautifully humbling about being an instrumentalist, that, you know, producing these notes on your instrument is something that has to be recreated each time. So this feeling of breakthrough is very much flickering and evaporating, because you may feel that one day, and then likely you come back a few days later and you think, well, am I really closer or further? Or so today is a different day to try to scale these mountain peaks. And so, of course, naturally there is a feeling of, hopefully, when when I'm practicing, that I'm getting more comfortable and more integrated with these pieces. But I think it would be very presumptuous to feel at some point, you know, so well I got this thing. It's always, you know, and even, you know, so you record it, and there is something nice about the fact, you know, that this is a document, so I know that at some point I played them like this. I would perhaps play them differently now, because I'm older and different and changed by this process, even if the recording, you know, finished 3 days earlier. So recordings really are like photographs. You know, it's a snapshot of a certain time and certain moment and certain place. And they're wonderful to have, but there is this continued recreation of the pieces as you live with them as an interpreter.
Yeah. Where did you make the recording? In Berlin, right?
Yes, in a very nice venue in Berlin. It's called the Siemens Villa, and of course the name of the industrialist Siemens is known even today. Mm-hmm. It continues to be an important German brand, and Ernst von Siemens was in the 20s an industrial producer and a very rich man, and he built this residence for himself, and within this residence for himself he built a concert hall, which is also something nice to contemplate. You know, there wasn't a double-sized Olympic pool with extra undercurrents. He decided to build a concert hall, and even going further, he commissioned Steinway to build a double keyboard piano, the only one that Steinway ever built. There were about 60 of these double keyboard instruments invented by Emmanuel Mohr, a Hungarian pianist, composer, and inventor. And mostly these were made by Bechstein and Bösendorfer. But von Siemens saw this and thought this was something he wanted to have. And again, he didn't get a piano that, you know, had some rare wood incrustation of some, you know, landscape scene, as one sees sometimes as special order pianos. He thought, oh, a double keyboard concert grand Steinway. This is what I ought to commission. And so that was in that concert hall, and that's the concert hall that we recorded in. It's perhaps known to many ears as the venue where Fischer Dieskau, the great singer, recorded a lot of his Schubert song recordings and a number of other projects. And it's a wonderful room to record in.
Yeah, a great sense of history, and it sounds wonderful, I have to say.
Thank you.
I know you've recorded the B minor sonata in the past, but can you talk a little bit about how important Liszt is to you as a pianist?
Well, I think we all owe to Liszt as pianists, because we descend from him. So I would say he's incredibly important to me, and I think his inventions on the keyboard, even when I'm not playing Liszt, I'm still charting many things that he first invented for our instrument. So without Liszt, really, we would not be where we are as pianists, and I think as musicians, because without Liszt, we would have had a very different Wagner and a very different Mahler and a very different Richard Strauss, if we could so say. So I think he really influenced the course of music history, and in a very important, significant way. And despite the fact that he is incredibly famous and recognized, this is practically a cliche and a platitude to say, but I don't think he's given enough credit as a serious, great, important musician, both as a composer and as a pianist. And I think much of the opinion about him is formed based on, you know, a very limited number of pieces, and, you know, people hear some of the more superficially virtuosic pieces and say, well, you know, Liszt, it's not such profound music as, you know, Beethoven or whoever else you want to pick. Mm-hmm. But I think that isn't so. I think he is still underrated and deserves an ever higher place in this hierarchy of our repertoire.
Yeah, well, definitely this recording is part of the testament to your opinion of Liszt. Before we wrap it up, you have anything you would like to say to the folks here in Toledo?
Oh, that I adore Toledo. I've enjoyed ever since my first visit, which was a wonderful surprise because I didn't know Toledo, and, you know, being in that concert hall in the museum and being with the musicians of the orchestra was such a wonderful and heartwarming experience, and then meeting the public that I also felt was a special and especially warm one. Then that's the reason why I've come back a number of times and look forward to coming back in the future. So I've only very positive memories and thoughts of Toledo, the concert hall, the orchestra, and the public, as well as the museum that I enjoyed visiting on a couple of occasions. So just my warmest greetings.
Well, we certainly hope to have you back sometime in the future. And the recording is Franz Liszt's Transcendental Etudes. We've been speaking with pianist Kirill Gerstein. You can get that recording from Mirios Classics. We'll put it on our website as well at WGTE.org. And Kirill, thanks again for joining us here on FM 91.
Thank you for speaking.